Next is Matthew 7, verse 7, where Jesus says, "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened." This is the prayer of faith. Now, as I stand here, I do confess that if praying in faith holds the greatest potential, one of the greatest sins you'll ever commit is the sin of faithless prayer. Confess my sin of faithless prayer. It is a great evil. And it is so easy to do. Jesus warned us about this in the previous chapter. "And when you pray, you should not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward." That's a faithless prayer. Praying before men. There's no answer to the prayer from God. Simply to be seen by men. How about praying without faith, thinking you need to tell God with vain repetition? "And when you pray, do not use vain repetition as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them." Who do you think you're praying to? "For your Father knows the things that you need before you ask him," Matthew 6, 8. Do you think praying is simply a matter of telling God things he doesn't know? God does not call us to pray because he needs us to tell him something. God is looking for something else. God is looking for one thing. He's looking for faith. He's not looking for faith in faith. He's not looking for faith in man. He's not looking to see if you have faith in yourself, but to see if you have faith in him, as defined by his word. I confess, I used to pray without faith. For many years of my life, the consistent theme of my life was to pray without faith. And during those years, I found praying boring. I said prayers, but I didn't pray them. And if I did pray them, I didn't believe them. And in the rare event that I actually prayed my prayer to God and believed it, it was sadly misdirected. James 4, 3, "You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your pleasures." There's the faithless prayer. There's the aimless prayer. It's time to take the log out of our eyes. It's time to take the log of prayerlessness out of our eyes. And pray in faith. I remember the early days of my life when I was in college, my college days, that I started to believe what I was praying. And I literally had a prayer closet. But you, when you go into your room and when you have shut the door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. But this time, as I went to my prayer closet, I actually believed what I was praying. And I hadn't prayed like that before. It made a marked difference in my life. I can't say that every time I pray I do that. But I remember the time when I prayed in faith, and the stark contrast was before that I was not praying in faith. What is faith? Hebrews 11. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Good definition from Hebrews 11, 1. What that means is that faith is the confidence that what we have hoped for will come to pass. It's the confidence, and it gives us assurance about this before the event. That's the faith part. That's the faith part. So this kind of faith looks like trusting God 100% with full confidence before you see the answer to your prayer. That's the prayer of faith. How can I do that? You do that by believing the promises of God. Now let me clarify here. To be clear, the prayer of faith does not mean that you believe God can answer prayer. I'm not talking about believing that God possesses the power to answer prayer or the ability to answer prayer. The prayer of faith is this: to have the full confidence that God will answer my prayer. And that confidence is 100% confidence that what I prayed will actually happen before I see the answer to prayer manifest. That's what faith is. Faith is the evidence of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. How can you have evidence in something that you don't see? That's what faith is. Faith believes it's as good as done, even though it's not seen. So the prayer of faith is to believe 100% before it is seen. It's not a I guess so. It's not a hope so. There are no ifs in the prayer of faith. If the Lord would will this, then. Now, there are times to pray that way. There's different kinds of prayers. And there's times when we don't know. But that's not the prayer of faith that I'm talking about here. The kind of prayer I'm talking about is that when you have prayed to the point where you know so, it's a I know so that God will do this. Okay. When you pray, do you expect God to answer your prayer? That's a good question. Do you actually expect God to answer your prayer? How can I be confident in this? You can be confident in this because of the one who made the promise. And the one who made this promise is Jesus Christ himself, the Son of God, who came and told us in the Sermon on the Mount and many other places in scriptures. And he says, ask and it will be given to you. See what it says there? Read it in your Bible. It doesn't say ask and it might be given to you. It doesn't say ask because God has the power to give it to you. It doesn't say ask and hope that it will be given to you, and it might be given to you, and maybe it'll be given to you. It says, ask and it what? Will be given to you. The prayer of faith takes hold of the promises of God to such a degree that when the request is asked by faith, it's accepted that I will have what I have requested of God. That is the prayer of faith. It's 100% trust in God to answer the prayer. And Jesus didn't just say one line. He said, ask and it will be given. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened. When you're asking for something, you're asking for something you don't have. When you're seeking for something, you're seeking for something you don't have. When you're knocking for something, you're outside of somewhere where you want to go. So all of those commands, ask, seek, knock, are done when you're outside of somewhere or want something that you don't have. All three of them have that in common. Ask, seek, knock is the command. God says, if you ask, it will be given to you. If you seek, you will find. If you knock, it will be open. And then he says it again in verse 8. And this time he opens it up for everyone in case you weren't paying attention. He says, for everyone. Well, that can't be true of everyone. It may be true of just certain people. Well, it is true of certain people. But the certainty that it's true for certain people is true for everyone who will ask in faith. See, it says in verse 8, for everyone. That's pretty wide. For everyone who asks, receives. Literally in the Greek, for the everyone who is asking. Those, it's the participle there. For everyone who's asking, he receives. So it goes from the broad to the narrow. For everyone who is asking, everyone who asks, he receives. That's the singular. He receives. Same, for he who seeks, finds. To him who knocks, those who are knocking, it will be opened. So, in other words, those who are outside, those who don't have, the door is open and they are given what they're asking. That's what Jesus taught us. That's what that passage means. The prayer of faith simply believes that God will. Believing that God will answer your prayer. Do you believe water turns to ice when it turns 32 degrees? Water turns to ice at 32 degrees, unless it's like salt water or has antifreeze in it. Water turns to ice at 32 degrees. And we would say that's a law. It's a physical law of the universe. We don't call it a miracle, do we? Look, it's a miracle. Water turned to ice. No, when it hits 32 degrees or below, water freezes. I have something for you to understand. The God of the universe made a law. He made this law. But the God of the universe also made a promise. And he said, if you pray in faith, you will receive. Which is more certain? The physical laws that God made in creation or the promises that he makes? Which is more certain? I would say his promises. Physical laws, scientific physical laws sometimes need to be reinterpreted. Right? Or you could maybe say the same. If you put salt in the water, it's not going to freeze. But the point is this. We're not surprised when water turns to ice. But sometimes when he answers our prayers, we're surprised or we don't even think it's going to happen. Ask and it will be given to you. That's what Jesus said. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, it will be opened. God honors faith because faith honors God. And people say, well, I have asked God of things and it hasn't come to pass. And people have that experience. Jesus gives these commands to force us to ask the question, why? And I'll ask it this way. How do I pray with faith? Remember, first of all, that prayer does not change God. It changes you. That's important to remember. Prayer changes us. We are the ones who need to be changed. And we need to move from faithless prayer to faithful prayer. How do we do that? We do it step by step by step. As Brother Jerry encouraged us in the singing, it takes time to be holy. We have to invest much, much time, much energy, much faith to pray until we pray. That is, the Holy Spirit needs to be present. We ask God to send His Spirit to replace unbelief, to replace aimless prayer with faith in God. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. Romans chapter 8, verse 26. Romans 8, 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now, He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. We need the Holy Spirit to make intercession for us according to God, according to God's will. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to the purpose, but we need the prayer. We need the Spirit of the living God to show us how to interpret life from a faith perspective. Because we need help in that area. We need the Spirit of the living God to help move us from faithlessness and aimless prayers. Now, God is gracious in all these things. To move us from faithless, aimless, pointless, redundant, boring, obnoxious prayers to faithful, powerful, earth-changing prayers. And if you're like me, I always start here. I always start, God, I need you. And I have to go through and wrestle and ask and seek and knock and ask and seek and knock. God, show me your will. Help me to see. I can't see this. And wrestle through my unbelief and wrestle through my aimlessness and humble myself and humble myself and humble myself till I get to the point where I can trust Him. And then, once I'm trusting Him, then I can ask Him. I hear Him say, open your mouth wide and I will fill it. And then I can't pray hard enough. Sometimes that takes a minute. Not usually. Sometimes it takes hours. Sometimes it takes days to get to the point where I can hear Him say, open your mouth wide and I will fill it. Praying in faith is not an easy thing. There's much distractions in our hearts. There's much things that call us away to unbelief. I love Romans 8, 26 to 28. With 28 being the one we talk about a lot. But how do we know? How do we know that God works all things together for good? Well, the scripture says, yeah, but how do we know in the fabric of our life? It's by praying by faith. That's praying in the Holy Spirit's power. That perspective, that faith perspective, comes from faith. Faith then is the key. Faith is the key. Listen to what Jesus taught us in Matthew 7, 19. If Romans 8, 26 to 28 is the key verse for the perspective of having that divine perspective on life, Matthew 17, 19 is where the power comes from, is the perspective of power. Why could we not cast it out? They asked Jesus. Why don't we have the power? Why don't we have the spiritual power to do this? And Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief. He always brought it back to unbelief. Why? Because of your unbelief. For assuredly, I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. Nothing will be impossible for you. Jesus said in Matthew 21, 22, and whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. Matthew 21, 22. And whatever things you ask, that's an open term, isn't it? And whatever things you ask in prayer, making your request to the Lord, and whatever things you ask, then he nails it, believing. You will receive. That means as you go in your secret prayer closet with faith, what you ask for in the prayer of faith, believing, I will receive. I will receive. That's what it means to believe in the promises of God. Just as certain as I believe that water will turn to ice when it hits 32 degrees, I believe the promises of God when he says, whatever I ask, believing, I will receive. James 5 is an example. James 5:13, if anyone is among you is suffering, let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick. And the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. Is he just like you and I? And he prayed earnestly. Don't forget, earnestly. He didn't just say a prayer. He prayed earnestly. Earnestly. He prayed a ton. That it would not rain. Why did he pray it wouldn't rain? He didn't just think of that term. Oh, I'm tired of the rain. I don't want it to rain. Is that what was going on? No, it was tied into the covenant lawsuit that he was bringing against that wicked king. It was based on God's word. He knew God works all things together for good. He knew what the scripture says, and he knew the times, and he knew what the Spirit was telling him, because he knew the times, because he knew the word, and he knew what God's will was to bring judgment upon Israel. So he prayed earnestly according to the will of God as revealed in the word of God. The Spirit given him the timely application, and he prayed, and he knew what he was praying. Stop raining. And what happened? It did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again. And when did he pray again? You want to see who God is? Get all your false prophets. Get all the prophets of Baal. Go to Mount Carmel. Calls upon them. Call upon your gods, your Baal. Calls upon the name of Yahweh. Fire comes down. They give glory to God. And he prays. Okay, God, they repented. Lift the curse. God, lift the curse. Your word says if your people will humble themselves, you will do this. He didn't just make this up. He got it from the word of God. He had the prophetic insight by the Spirit of God to apply the word of God in the moment. And he believed that God would do it. And he did. And it rained. That's the effect of fervent prayer of a righteous man that avails much. And whatever things you ask in prayer, earnest prayer, focused prayer, long periods of time in prayer, and short prayers, all of the above prayers, not one or the other. Earnest prayers. And whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. The object of the prayer of faith is God. Perspective comes from the word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit. Power comes from God. The object of the prayer of faith is God. Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. Mark 11:22. Have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes. So what's the opposite of believing? Jesus says, it's doubt in your heart. So when you pray, you will either be doubting or you will be believing. When you're praying, Jesus says, if you don't doubt in your heart, but believe, that those things he says will be done, He will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. That's what Jesus said. So what should I ask for? What our Lord just teach us? He just taught us what to ask for. Don't be like the hypocrites. Matthew 6:8. For your Father knows the things you need before you ask him. It's not about giving God information. It's about trusting God with the information you're giving him. He's looking for faith. Jesus gives us the disciples' prayer and his pray like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. First pronoun, our. This is for everybody. The Lord's Prayer is a corporate prayer issue. Now, Jesus said, pray in your secret. So he's not negating that. He's that. But when we go to God, we can all go to God. Everyone goes to God. Those who have faith, who believe, go to God by faith, our Father who is in heaven, the creator of heaven and earth, Father. Hallowed be your name. God-centered prayers. We ask God to glorify his name. Jesus teaches us that what should we ask for? We should ask that God would bring glory to himself. In this manner, therefore, pray. Ask God to glorify himself. Ask God to hallow his name. That his name would be understood. That his name would be understood as holy. For all who come before me must regard me as holy, as glory, as majesty, as creator, as redeemer, as sustainer. Hallowed be your name. So when we come to God, we ask him, God, hallow your name among us. Hallow your name in my life. Hallow your name in my family. Give glory to your name. Magnify your name, the greatness and the power and the worth of your name. For God's character is revealed through his name. His majesty, his glory, his immutability, his sovereignty, his love, his grace, and his mercy. His name! I ask God that you would glorify your name. And as I ask that by faith, believing, I know he will. We ask these things of God. Our starting point for prayer is God. Because that's the one we're praying to. And Jesus taught us not to forget that you're praying to God. You're not praying to Santa Claus. You're not praying to the air. You're praying to the God of all creation, the God of the Bible. Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. We ask God to advance his kingdom. What is the kingdom? Jesus said it's parallel to his will. Your kingdom come, the rule and reign of God, your will be done. Your kingdom come, your will be done. What is the will of God? The will of God is what we have right here in Scripture. You want to know God's will? It's been revealed to us in the Bible. The commands of God. It's God's will that you worship him. It's God's will that you don't make any idols. It's God's will that you don't take his name in vain. It's God's will that you remember the Sabbath. It's God's will that you honor the authority of parents. It's God's will that you don't murder. It's God's will that you don't commit adultery. It's God's will that you don't steal. It's God's will that you don't covet and worship other gods. It's God's will that you rejoice in all circumstances. It's God's will that you love one another. It's God's will that you have a just weight and measure for your financial transactions. It's God's will that you care enough for the poor to help them. God's will that you love the strangers, the immigrants, the foreigners who come in. It's God's will that you don't backbite and slander each other. It's God's will that you don't sin. That's God's will. And as God's will is done, God's kingdom comes in God's will. Now, is God's will always being done? No. That's sin. We're praying God's will be done. Where? On earth. As it is in heaven. So the goal of prayer is to call God's will on earth as it is in heaven. The goal of prayer is to do God's will. The goal of prayer is to do God's will on earth, where God's will, and again, I'm talking God's moral will as revealed in the Bible, God's will is not being done on earth. People are sinning. People are not worshiping God. People are killing each other and murdering and slandering and not loving each other on earth. So we pray God's will be done. God's kingdom come, God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. They don't do that in heaven. That's the point. The point of prayer is to call upon the name of the Lord and call heaven's will, God's will, to be born on earth as it is in heaven for the advancement of his kingdom. That they would believe in him, that they would believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ and repent of their sins. As in the Great Commission, and as we go out and proclaim the gospel, and people get saved, and we disciple them into the will of God, that every square inch of the creation, wherever God's will is not being done, we proclaim and we seek to live and advance the kingdom of God. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. If there's anywhere on earth where God's will is not being done, that's a reminder to pray in faith that God's will be done. You have a lot to pray about. Kingdom advancing prayers is God's will. So as you see, do you have to guess, is it God's will that babies are killed in abortion? We know that's not God's will. So we pray. We ask and we seek and we knock. We pray. That unbelievers would not go to hell. We pray in all these areas. And we pray and we seek to intercede against the evil for good. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, you see how God-centered those askings are? God, his glory. God, his will. Not my will be done. Your will be done on earth. God, teach me to be a servant. If you have a problem with your parenting, you ultimately have a problem with faith. God, help me to be the kind of parent you've called me to be. Help me to train up my children. And if you pray in faith, believing, you will. God, help me to be an evangelist. Help me to witness. And if you pray believing, you will. God, help me to make disciples. And if you pray believing, you will. You will be sharing the gospel. People will be getting saved. And you will make disciples. And you will train your children. And you can say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Not a hope so, not a might so, not a maybe so, a will so. Why? Because if you pray in faith believing, you will. And if you pray in faith believing, he will. God will, if you ask according to his will. Now, I just want to point out there, Jesus teaches us to pray in that way and get lost in those prayers. But then he brings it back around. Now we're in the right context to pray, give us this day our daily bread. And for many of us, that's the pressure we feel. And if that's the main pressure you feel, which we do oftentimes, it's because we've completely lost focus of God. Didn't Jesus just tell us in Matthew 6, what should I eat? What should I wear? Right? I'm not saying there's not pressure in there, but if that's the main focus and pressure that we feel, we're like the Gentiles. After all these things, the Gentiles say, what things? What am I going to eat? What am I going to wear? Right? And I'm worried about all these things. And he calls us out of that. And he calls us out and he says, but you, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things will be added unto you. Where am I going to eat? Where am I going to live? All these things are a byproduct. They're a natural byproduct of seeking first the kingdom of God. You seek first the kingdom of God, how? By faith. If you don't have faith, you can't do this. By faith, we ask and it will be given to you. So before the request for daily bread is the request, Lord, to do your will. That puts the proper perspective, says, Lord, help me to do, advance your kingdom and your righteousness, and all these things will be given unto you. Lord, I need my daily bread. So who do we ask? We ask God, give us our daily bread. God, I recognize that you are my sustainer. I recognize that you are the provider. And I call upon you, Lord, in my time of need, to grant me my daily bread. Do you see the difference in perspective there? Kingdom advancing prayers. Now we know that the knowledge of the Lord will cover the earth as the water covers the sea. Scripture gives us that promise. Okay, we know. We don't know how that's all going to look or work out, but we know that. What are we doing from here to there? We're asking, we're seeking, knocking to advance his kingdom into everything that Scripture says. In the Great Commission, go make disciples and teach them to observe all things I've commanded. One of those things that he's commanded is provision. Provision is an act of worship. Provision is a God-centered act of worship whereby we seek the Lord that we would live out his will in such a way that would advance his kingdom on earth as it is in heaven, that I may provide for myself, my family, the good that you've called me to do through working. Righteousness. It is right to work. It is good to work. It is good to be diligent. The proverb says, the hand of the diligent will rule, but the lazy man will be put to forced labor. The proverb says, the blessing of the Lord makes one rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. The proverb says, diligence is a man's precious possession. The proverb says, the will of God is this, to work is a glorious thing. But to work for who? To work for the Lord. To work for the King of Kings. To work for the advancement of the kingdom. There's no difference. There's no sacred secular here. It's all about trusting God in faith. And I'll tell you what. Many people have a lot of difficulties in this. They have a lot of problems with their work. They have problems with their job. They have problems with finances. They have a problem with economics. They have all these problems. And the reason they have the problems is one, faith. It comes down to faith. Many of you are just a few faith choices away from advancing the kingdom of God through your work. But without those faith choices, you'll never see it. You won't see it. You'll go through your whole life. And that's sad. The Lord didn't teach us to pray like that. He didn't just teach us to pray, Lord, I have bills, meet my needs. He taught us to come to the Lord and say, God, you have glory. Teach me to glorify your name. God, you have a kingdom. Teach me to advance your kingdom. God, you have a will in the word of God. Teach me to be a responsible steward to advance your kingdom and your as defined by Scripture. What is man's responsibility? Right there in the Scripture. It's in black and white. This is man's responsibility to believe and obey God. And if you give yourself to seeking first the kingdom and his righteousness, you better believe all these things will be added unto you. And you can go to God. And you can ask. And you can believe that you will receive. And you will receive. And you'll be working in that way. And it will be glorious. And your life will be full of blessing and meaning and persecution and difficulties and misunderstandings and blessings. It's a faith issue. It's a trust of God issue. It's a prayer issue. It's not an excuse issue. I mean, that could be your issue. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. God, I owe a debt I cannot pay. And before I forgive my debtors, before I look to those people that owe me stuff, before I ask what I can get out of it, let me ask this, Lord. Forgive us our debts. Forgive me of my sin. And that leads me to the cross of Calvary. Receiving the grace of God. Receiving the grace of God. Receiving the grace of God so you can forgive those who've sinned against you. How easy is it to forgive those who sin against you when you've been forgiven the sin that you have, when you understand your forgiveness? But how impossible is it to forgive those? Or how impossible is it to let go of the hurt that people have done to you if you don't first receive the grace of God in your life? You will be a slanderer and a gossip and a hater unless you understand and pray in faith, asking God to forgive me of my sin. And I can forgive those who sin against me. Oh, ask, and it will be given to you. Do you realize if you ask God to forgive you of your sins because of Jesus Christ, he will? Do you realize that? Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened unto you. You can forgive those who wronged you when you realize that you were forgiven. The prayer of faith moves mountains. It moves the mountains in your soul. It moves the discontentment in your heart. It removes the excuses from your mouth. And it reveals the blessings of heaven in your life. None of this is based on circumstances. None of it. Doesn't matter where you are. Doesn't matter who you are. Whoever is open, come. Doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter where you are. What matters is, do you believe this truth? Do you believe this message? Do you believe these words that Jesus is saying? Because if you do, your debts will be forgiven. And you will forgive your debtors. God is Savior. Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And this is important because we all face the temptations. Every day we need to read this and understand this verse in the beginning of our day. Lord, keep me from temptation. Lord, I know there's going to be temptations today. Lord, remove the trials that are going to be too hard for me. Remove the temptations. But we know in 1 Corinthians 10, with every there's no temptation but such as common to man, but with every temptation, God provides a way of escape. Lord, help me to see the way of escape and help me to stay on that way of escape. There's going to be a very narrow path for me to walk through this day. Lord, help me to see it. And if you pray in faith, you will be kept from temptation. If you pray in faith, you will. Whatever you're falling into, whatever sin pattern you're falling into, if you pray in faith, believing, you will receive it. And God will provide the way of escape every single time. Lord, keep me from temptation. Deliver me from evil. And you will. He will. Do you believe that? He will. And you can pray that for yourself. You can pray that for others. You can pray that for your family. You can intercede on behalf of others. Do you see how praying without faith is nothing? You are speaking to the air. Do you see how praying in faith is everything? And how completely engaging this is? It wraps your life up into His. Faith is that which moves us. Faith moves us. Faith moves us to God. Faith will move you to the object that your faith is in. If your faith's in yourself, it doesn't get you anywhere. If your faith's in someone else, it'll move you towards that person. But if your faith is in God, it will move you to worship and obedience in God. And God honors faith because faith honors God. And God says, if you ask these things believing, you got them. How cool is that? Pray in faith. Embracing God's will is key to the prayer of faith. Embracing God's will is the key to the prayer of faith. Submitting to God's will is the key to praying in faith. Obeying God's will is the key to praying in faith. Praying in faith, submitting in faith, walking in faith. Bible study is the key to praying in faith. And praying in faith, living in faith, walking by faith is the goal of Bible study. Why do I study my Bible? So I can know? No. Who cares about what you know? The goal of the study of the Bible is to worship God. And you need to know the truth. And God cares about truth. But he's not looking just so you can tell him back what his word says. He's looking so that you believe what the word says and you can live it out in your life and help others live it out in their life. That's called discipleship. And train your children. That's called training your children. That's like why we're here, to worship God, to preach the gospel, to make disciples. Because there's people in this world that aren't obeying God. And that's wrong. And if you ask God to give you people to disciple according to his word, guess what? He will. Because that's his will. When I came here to plant a church, I didn't come here to plant a church because I hoped God would use me to plant a church. I didn't come here because I thought God might use me to plant a church. I didn't come here because I wanted to plant a church. I came here from Pennsylvania, not knowing anybody, except for a couple people I talked on the phone, because I came here to plant a church. Why? I knew it was God's will. How do I know it's God's will? It says it in God's word. How hard is that? How do I know I was the one to do that? Well, that's like a 10-year story, and I don't need to go into all that right now. Praying, 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 praying. I was praying and praying and praying, and some of you were praying. And you lock in. At some point, you lock in, right? At some point, you lock in, and you stop the if, and you say, I'll do it. I see it. I got it. I'll go. I trust. I'll raise my kids. You said you'll help me, God. I trust you. God says he will. Me too. And he will. God says work hard, be diligent. God says he'll provide for you, give you daily bread. At some point you lock in, you say, God, you will. I'm going to work hard. I'm going to be diligent. I'm going to advance your righteousness and stop being so inwardly focused on whatever, but outwardly focused on you. It's always the answer. Faith is in God, not self. And he'll move you to do things you never thought you could in your work, in discipleship, in everything, in everything. That's why it says, ask whatever you will, and it will be given to you. Listen, 1 John is a great passage. It says this. I love 1 John 5:14. Now, this is the confidence we have in him. That if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Embracing God's will is the key to the prayer of faith. This is what distinguishes the faith healer, name it and claim it, from a biblical name it and claim it. If I can see it here, I can name the will of God and claim it. I know it's God's will for me not to complain. For this is the will of God, that you do all things without whining or complaining. I know this is the will of God, that you abstain from sexual immorality. I don't have to guess that. I know it's God's will. Start with what you know. Well, what job should I do? Whoa, 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 whoa. Wrong question. Start with who is God? Start with embracing God's will. Start with walking out his righteousness. Start with repenting of your faithlessness. Are you trusting him? Are you diligent? Who should I marry? Wrong question. It's not a bad question, but it's the wrong question if that's your main question. The main question is, how do I advance the kingdom? What is God's will? How is my faith? Am I trusting him? And then you go down to it. And then by the time you get down, you get to know God and God's will find you. And you know God and you love God and God is loving you. And you're seeing these answers to prayers in your life. And then you're praying and you're praying and you're praying. And it's like, wow, I see it. For me, God called me in the ministry. It was 10 years. I had no clue where I was going to go. I did care. But I said, God, I'll go anywhere. Anywhere, anytime, any place for Jesus. So as I had 10 years of training, as I'm thinking, Lord, I'll go to Pennsylvania. And I went to Russia, and I went to Morocco, and I went to, I'll go there, I'll go to Morocco, I'll go here, I'll go there, I'll go here. So all through this 10 years, my wife finally said, Jason, just, when you know where God wants us to go, tell me, because she was getting dizzy. Every day I'd come back, you know, from a chapel, and hey, the missionary from somewhere, and we're going to go there. That wasn't the question. It was, what does it mean to do this? Prepare and seek and trust. And then at the final end, oh, by the way, here's your note, Jason. You're going to Arizona, Phoenix. All right. See, that was the answer to a prayer of a long process. That process was way, way more important. It's not the where, it's the who. It's the what do I do? Who am I seeking? Seek first the kingdom. See how these things work together? This is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. If we ask anything according to his will, how deep and how wide and how broad is the will of God? Here's your scope. You can ask anything according to the will of God. And what does it mean? You've got to get to know God so you know his will according to his word, according to prayer, getting to know God. When you know God's will, you can lock into the will of God. You can pray the prayer of faith, and you can know that God hears you. Verse 15, and if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we asked of him. I've been praying for my boys. I left my father's business, bricklaying business. Lord, I like the family economic working together. What's that going to look like for my boys? So I've been praying for that for years and years. Now that they're getting older. And along with that, see, here's the thing. I don't just pray for that. I pray for the wisdom. I don't just pray, float down from heaven, and right? I mean, it can, but I pray for the wisdom to see it. See, here's what happens is if we're not praying, God is answering the prayers all around us. And we don't see them. He's answering them. And if you're not praying in faith, you're not seeing them. Help me to see. I guarantee the top things in your heart that you want, God already has a plan to figure them out if it's his will. And again, if it's his will, is the word of God, right? This is not some mystical, we're not talking about the ultimate sovereign purposes and God's ultimate will. Nobody knows what that is but God, okay? I'm talking about what we know. The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things that are revealed belong to us. And it is shown that we would do them. Deuteronomy 29:29, talking about the word of God. This is the will of God. This is what we have. This is what we focus on. When I stand before God, he's going to say, what did you do with my will? He's not going to be saying, what did you concern yourself with which you could never know? I'm going to give an account of what I do with the word of God as a steward to do it. To believe it and do it, to call heaven's will on earth, to walk out obedience into every area of life, and where there is disobedience, to call for faith and repentance. There's answers to prayer all along, but if you're not having the eyes to see, well, I don't have anyone to witness this to this week. You probably passed about 13 divine opportunities that God had planned for you had you been praying. I don't have anyone to minister to. You probably had about 50 people you were supposed to minister to this week, and God could have worked it all in your schedule if you were praying. Don't have anyone to love this week. Pray in faith. Believe the will of God. So with my story with my kids, I'm praying. You know, and I'm praying broad. I'm not narrow yet. So I'm walking through the market that I don't usually go to in Scottsdale, and I meet a beekeeper who happens to be an interesting beekeeper, who happens to be a completely natural beekeeper. And I talk to him. He happens to be a Romanian. He's from Romania, which I like. I like Romanians. And he's a Christian. Oh, yeah, this is what I've been praying for. Could you please mentor my boys? They want to do bees. Sure. How hard was that? Do you think I would have seen that if I wasn't praying? Oh, yeah. By the way, I've been praying for a Christian mentor in the business, like the bees. Because Jonathan, he always liked bugs. It just lines up. Right? It just so you ask, you seek, you knock. And then when the opportunity comes, you give glory to God and you go to the next thing. There was a time in my life I had no one to disciple. And I prayed about that. I have people to disciple now. I have no shortage of people to disciple. And I praise God for that. It's his will. Ask. Seek. Knock. And if we know he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions we ask of him. Embrace God's will. Submit to his will. Finally, rooted in the goodness of God. And Jesus says this. See, the problem is, the Lord, and there's other passages, and I included some of them here. Jesus says this. The problem is, you really don't believe that God is good. And back to Matthew 7, 9. What man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will he give him a stone? Right? So, Josh, come here. Come on up here. Come on up. So the question is, what manner of man is there if his son comes up to him and says, he asked me for a piece of bread. Josh, are you ever hungry? Yeah. Do you ever get enough to eat? Yeah. You do? Oh, usually he says no. Okay. You want a piece of bread? Now, if my son asks me for a piece of bread, would I give him a stone? Good job. Go sit down. We know what that's like, right? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? Children ask these things of their parents. Why? Because they have the experience of they come to their parents because they need something. And they know their parents are good enough to give it to them, right? Jesus says this. If you then being evil, okay, we swallow that one. So I was relaxing this morning early before the sun came up. And my little daughter asked me for a glass of water. And I was nice and relaxed. Didn't get up yet. Think I wanted to get out of bed and get her a glass of water? No. And you being evil. See, who was I thinking of? I was thinking of myself. I don't want to get up. I'm resting. And you being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children. Very accurate statement the Lord Jesus just gave us, didn't he? We all can identify that, right? How much more will your Father who is in heaven give good gifts, give good things to those who ask him? God never has an evil thought. How much more in heaven, who God is good? He doesn't have those evil, selfish thoughts, and he's in heaven with an unlimited store of blessings. Got it? A good God with an unlimited store of blessings, how much more will he give these good things to those who ask him? Will you pray in faith? What keeps you? And I would suggest, in closing, there's one and only one thing that keeps you from this. Only one thing. And that one thing is pride. Pride manifesting itself in unbelief that keeps you from understanding the goodness of God, the power of God, rooted in the will of God. And the one answer to pride is always faith that brings on humility. Humility has the idea of being able to embrace what is. This is true. Humility enables us to see what really is. Prideful people look at Christians and say, oh, you're just in your prayer closet. I need to get to work to get to the real world. A real world person understands, no, I need to get to my prayer closet so when I go to work, I can deal with what is reality. And what is reality is that my God says he'll supply all my needs. My God says, ask and it'll be given unto you. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God so that you may pray the prayer of faith. And as you pray the prayer of faith, remember, it's Jesus Christ who gave us this promise. Ask, and you will receive. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for Jesus Christ and for his word, that we can ask for oh, so many good things. And you will give to those who ask. We thank you for this. In Christ's name, amen.